Yo.
Yo.
I wonder where he is as I realize that, oh, ding dong, you don't have Skype on.
Yeah, it did. Oh, you didn't? Well,
I didn't.
that's weird. It was showing you on.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I figured you were still setting up, so I didn't think anything of it. No. I was just looking.
It really hadn't been that I hadn't real I yeah, I'd realized it fairly quickly, I guess. So
Yeah, then AEW ratings came out, so they're back to like 680. And Chris and I
Chris and
talked
I talked
about this
about
last
this last
on
on
Tuesday,
Tuesday.
since I'm
Since
gonna
I'm
bring
gonna
it
bring
up.
it up.
But
But
if you need 180,000 people watching the
watching
Big
the
Bang
Big Bang
Theory
Theory,
to stick
stick
around
around
to
and
watch your
watch your
show,
show.
you got a
You got
fucking
a fucking
problem.
problem.
Ugh.
Well, they're ready for a touchdown, Jeremy.
Oh, geez. Well, technically a crash is a touchdown if you're in a plane. So, but oh, how's the baseball game?
Good.
I've never been to that park. How is it?
Fine. There's nothing really that special about it. I mean, you look, I think most of it faces Kentucky, but you really just you see like a, they have a like a Gateway Clipper, a Clipper type ship top,
Okay.
behind center field. I mean, it was okay, but there
Oh,
wasn't
okay.
anything like it wasn't like PN like PNC. You're like I feel like it's like, oh yeah, like I completely understand why this happened or why
Yeah.
people love this.
Yeah, PNC, well, I mean, for well, first it was Camden Yards, but then
Yeah, Camden
PNC is
Yards
like
was
that's the end all be all of stadium, supposedly. So,
yeah. So because I do I remember when because we went to Baltimore, when we were younger, right after Camden Yards had been built, and I always thought that that was really cool what they did there, because I mean that one's relatively old, like 25 years or something like that.
Yeah, well, Camden was the original. I'm gonna start recording this one up. Fuck it.
Yeah, I.
Why not?
Everything's working fine on this end, so
Yeah.
it has been caught if we want unedited
Yeah.
version.
All right. Well, no, like Camden Yards was like the precursor for like the modern stadium. That was like, because remember they have, what was it, Memorial Stadium, where the Orioles used to play? And it was your classic, surrounded stadium. And then they built that, incorporated the rail yard across the street, made it wide open, which is what like every ballpark does now. For the most part. So, I mean, hell, even the one here in Charlotte for the minor league team, it's built the exact same way, except apparently they're gonna build an apartment building in left field.
Well,
Okay.
yeah, of course. Why not?
To be honest, like the design of the stadium's fine. It seats 10,000, which I didn't know. But the
No.
outfield, they have a nice hill area in the outfield. So, because it's minor league, like bring your
Oh.
kids, they can roll on a hill, right? But
Yep.
the
The
scoreboard
scoreboard
is at the
is at the
bottom of the
bottom of
hill.
the hill.
So you
So
can't
you
even
can't
just
even
sit
just
on
sit
the
on the
hill
hill
and
and
enjoy
enjoy
the
the
game.
game.
Your view's
Your view's
blocked.
blocked.
And I'm like,
How
what
what
goddamn
goddamn
genius
genius
thought
thought
of
of
this?
this?
It's like we visited Red Hat Amphitheater where they had all the like lighting and sound rigs blocking your view. Put it in back. It's not hard. But I guess that
Yeah,
won't be a
this.
problem anymore. They're going to get rid of the hill and build either a apartment building or businesses, like six or seven stories. Like, okay. So And it's like, why are you bothering? Because Charlotte's on the list for expansion if MLB expands.
Uh-oh.
So why bother? Because if they get a city, if they get a team, that team's got to leave. So, okay.
Oh. Whatever. Yeah, that'd be kind of wild. Charlotte's had a minor league team for a long time. Because, I mean, wasn't there where Michael Jordan played back in the day?
That was the Barons, I believe. And these are the Knights. Now, it was the Chicago White Sox affiliate, but I don't think they were at the time.
I'm trying to remember if that's an actual fact or...
Yeah, he played for the Barons. Did you say Michael Jordan was born in Brooklyn, New York?
No.
What? No. Chicago, he was only in Double-A. This is a Triple-A team here. So it was the Birmingham Barons, I'm guessing Alabama.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
and Scottsdale Scorpions.
His
two teams. So, yeah, okay.
It's a cool name, actually. I like the Scottsdale. I like the Barons, actually, too. I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, those are both fine names, in my opinion.
Yeah, minor league teams still have, like, the best names of merchandise. I mean, like you saw my barbecue sandwich hat. Like that's one of the Knights alternate jersey. They're the Pit Masters once a year. Then there's the Caballeros.
Yeah, that kind of thing seems to be catching on. I noticed that the Clippers were doing something like that.
Yeah.
Here.
One of my favorite team names, I can't remember the city, they're the Iron Pigs.
Might be Toledo.
No, they're the Mud Hens.
I know, I've heard of the Iron Pigs.
Yeah, Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. No space. It's a choice. Yeah, they're the AAA affiliate of the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like their merch was cool. And now I signed up. I bought a new Lions hat. So now New Era is sending me stuff like crazy. So I was like, you can actually buy this stuff. So I was like, no, I don't need any more hats right now. Especially the wool ones.
This is definitely trucker hat season.
Yeah, I
those wool hats went out. I used to wear those all the time in the summer, but nah, that is entirely too hot.
Yeah, at least you got that head of hair to like soak the sweat up. I don't. That stuff goes right to the bill, the sides. Like the Knights had one. It was part of the Caballeros for some reason, but it was an actual dragon with like a metal faceplate on it, or a horse with a metal faceplate. I was like, this thing's cool, so I bought it. But the problem was it's white. And of course, it's got that awful yellow, you know, wave at the bottom of it now. So I'm like, well, I'm not wearing this. So that one's been retired.
Yeah, I have a couple hats nearing retirement age here.
And what do you do with them? You just put them in the closet, right?
No, I've started to get rid of the more recent ones, honestly. But I do still have my old Vancouver Canucks hat that I wore in college. That I want to say that I wore for like 3 straight years, pretty much.
I remember that hat, yes.
Because that thing went from black to some weird shade of gray by the time I was done with it. So that's the only hat that I've kept. I might have one of the wool hats. I might have one of my wool pirate hats. And I know I have another, but this one I got from my grandparents at some point. It's the Pillbox Pirates hat.
Yes.
I have one of those sitting.
Always loved that hat too.
Does not fit, does not even come close to fitting my fat head. But
you whatever. Again, you can disguise your fat head with hair. I cannot. it's all flesh.
Yeah, well, nonetheless, when you're talking like, hey, they don't have my size hat here at most locations, it's just like, this is a problem.
And now you just go online and they have a size for everything.
Well, yeah, that is kind of nice. That it used to be a problem. It is not really a problem anymore.
Yeah, no. No. It's funny because they have like the team store for the Knights here, and they go up pretty high. I was actually very surprised by that. So it's not like they want to make sure they get some money out of you on the way out. So good on them.
But like, they used to do. I wouldn't think to buy anything from the Clippers. But I also, I won't be able to do that. Well, actually, for WrestleMania in Indianapolis, I would be able to possibly pull off the watching the Indianapolis Indians sometime that weekend.
Oh, really?
Because that is the Pirates farm team.
Oh, but, okay.
I'm trying to think. It would really have to be SummerSlam, I would take. Yeah, it would have to be SummerSlam for it to be in season, I think. Because WrestleMania would be too soon, probably before the beginning of the season.
Well, it's April this year, so yeah, I guess for minor leagues, yes.
Yeah, because it does start a little bit later. So yeah, like still first weekend or something in April still might be a little too early.
Oh, the way they're moving stuff around, who knows now?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm like. Well, I guess it depends upon what year they decide to do. Because what? It's only decided that is it the Rumble?
Yes, the Rumble is first. And Chris and I didn't get to this on the show. Indianapolis is a travel hub for every major sporting event, apparently. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, like I said, I just feel like I have been told that it is easy to travel in and out of, which, I guess it isn't surprising. Like, it's not that far from a lot of places on the East Coast while still being in the Midwest. But, like, I mean, the only places you need to worry about are like the far West Coast still needing to make a trip, like a long, long trip there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's mainly it, is that geographically it's kind of in a favorable location. Lucas Oil Stadium, I feel like one of those older new stadiums in that regard, but man, they are... Because I think the WWE did the feature, but I mean, they've had just so many events there that it isn't surprising. They're like, well, yeah, we can do a WrestleMania here. Like, duh. Like, I mean, if you do a Super Bowl somewhere, it feels like you can host a WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, they host the Big Ten Championship game every year.
No.
They've, like, you know, Pat McAfee went over it. They show the commercial, right? But then, like, right now, oh, it's over now, but they were doing the U.S. swimming trials in Lucas Oil Field. And it had, like, 30,000 people. Like, what?
Yeah, I watched some of that. And
so did
I. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, but it's just, like, I know, like, you had a totally different experience than I did. When we were there, it was December, it was gray, and it was rainy. And they show these pictures of this beautiful river, sunny, and I'm like, where is all of this? It was crazy. And then you're like, yeah, that was really nice down there. I'm like, it was?
I'd
go back again.
Well, I was just going off of the weather that I had in Columbus that day. Because you're like, man, this is terrible. And I'm like, I was out shopping for Christmas trees that day. And I'm like, man, it is sunny and like 50. Like, that's all I can ask for in December.
Yeah. Not in Indianapolis that weekend. But you did point out, though, and I absolutely agree with you, the walkability of Indianapolis for WrestleMania or a major event like that. Yeah, I mean, unless Atlanta has improved greatly, which, of course, we stayed in Buckhead, and that was also God knows how long ago now.
A long time.
Yeah, that, you know, outside of New Orleans, there's no, like, major stadium I can think of offhand that's going to have the walkability of Indianapolis. It's very easy.
Yeah, there's a lot of hotels near the stadium. And yeah, like you don't have to go all over God's green creation to get there. Even if you do, pick a place that's a little further out of town.
Yeah. I mean, we stayed at a little La Quinta Inn. That was a 15-minute walk. Well, probably 10-minute walk, but you know, before the game, been having some fun. So that walk got a little longer than it should have. But it was, I mean, just very easy. And it was funny how much of a ghost town it turned into after the event. So I'd be very curious how it'll be for Royal Rumble. But it's...
Yeah, that was the only thing that I did find. I was annoyed that this one... The first time I went there for work-related purposes, I went out and this one brewery, I was like, hold on, you're closed at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, that's not, it's not quite Atlanta on a Sunday bad, but, you know, still was not, did not like that at all.
No, like, I know that Atlanta thing still runs deep.
Like, but yeah, even at 9 o'clock to me on because I think it was a Thursday night that I was there. I'm like, come on, man. Like, at least stay open until 9. Like, that's... I'm not asking for too much here. So, unfortunately, I didn't go to that brewery that night. But, what you gonna do?
Yeah, but no, so when they announced Indianapolis, I was like, oh, okay. Because, I mean, this is... It's kind of setting a precedent for stuff, too. Because they're getting, the major three... Minneapolis is getting 2 days of SummerSlam. The first one that's going to be two SummerSlams, right? Or 2 days of SummerSlam.
Well, I think they're promised another event also.
Okay. So, like, they just didn't make it known, apparently. It makes sense.
I don't think it's been determined yet. But I feel like it'll probably end up being one of these other semi-big events.
Yeah, and Chris and I were talking about this. It almost seems like it's interesting to me that the package deal is Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam. And they left Survivor Series out. And it's like, okay, I mean, I understand why.
That's still, it's just not going to recover to what it was in our childhood.
No, it's impossible, and especially with the amount of events they have now, that Survivor Series being considered one of the big four, I don't know anymore. Like, because we were discussing, like, how do you put that in a dome? Or can you? You know, the Rumble being a month away, a month and a half away after that. So, it's... Unless you do it overseas. They don't have Thanksgiving over there.
Yeah, but they have been better about the whole letting people stay home at Thanksgiving kind of situation.
Oh, very true. Well, they don't really do it on Thanksgiving, so you could do it like the weekend before, I guess. Something like that.
Right.
But yeah, but no, I thought it was interesting how they're doing this stuff, and it really does just lead that it's going to have, you know, one of the big ones. It's going to be overseas eventually.
Oh.
And yeah. I think that's just what all this leads to, which is fine. You know, I didn't think of this on Tuesday, but if they had like a WrestleMania in Mexico City, I wonder how that'd do. you know, like a major Mexican city like that. That might be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's one of those markets that's kind of interesting that they don't really go to. Like, they market to that audience, clearly. But that's one that is just like, hey, this isn't that far. And it's not like, I mean, the NFL is at least playing a game there every year now.
I believe so, yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely a market that U.S., you know, teams have been trying to get into. So, yeah, it's almost surprising that the WWE hasn't taken advantage of, you know, a wrestling-heavy market, honestly.
Yeah, with, like, the tradition.
You know, maybe I don't know if that's what the balking point is that there is just that much history with Mexican wrestling already that they don't want to ruffle too many feathers.
I mean, it doesn't seem. I mean, I don't pretend to know a lot about Mexican wrestling scene outside of what I watch. They always seem to have good crowds, so it's like, okay, is it really gonna hurt? They won't hurt anyone else's business. So, you know, for one weekend, they come and take over. And then peace out. Thank you for everything. Or hell, have Raw there. Have SmackDown there. That'd be cool. But I don't think it's going to happen. So.
Yeah. To me, that's one of those surprises. With all of the travel that they've done this year and will probably continue to do, it's rather surprising that Mexico has not been on the list. Well, yeah, I mean, that one, and really, I feel like they have done a couple of events in Japan.
The last one I remember is Brock Lesnar destroying New Day. I can't remember what that was called.
Yeah, that's the one that I have in mind. But, I mean, that's kind of a while ago now.
Yeah, it really is, yes. So, I think New Day were bad guys. Yeah. But it's like they seem to be doing that anyways. And also, a lot of these cities are paying to have them there or giving incredible tax breaks for it. So, some of these other people may be like, no, we're not doing that. Which, okay, I don't blame you. So,
You are doing the smart thing for your city.
Yeah.
You are saving them money.
Man. So, to go off of wrestling real quick, did you see what Jacksonville did about their stadium with the cons?
Yeah, that is an interesting choice of renovating the stadium, but also it's going to be so torn up that they're looking into what to do for the 26 and 27 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's kind of curious. Like, I'm surprised that it requires that much work that they'd be out for 2 years. Like, why not? I guess I was just thinking of it from a, like, hold on, why isn't there a different construction policy going on here? Like, it doesn't seem laid out completely correctly to me.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're putting a roof on it. So maybe that's why.
Okay.
But my thing is, they're using, of course, taxpayer money.
Well,
yeah. But, and I'm going to mess up the total. They were going to, like, $94 million of it or something like that. They're moving from a fund. Essentially, the $94 million was supposed to be for homeless people, affordable housing, and something else. And they're moving it out of that to help renovate the stadium. Listen, I hate what Charlotte's doing and giving a guy that's worth $21 billion money to renovate a stadium just to tear it down 15 years later. But this came out of a specific tax for hospitality and tourism. Not.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's just like that's getting lost. Like, and apparently, it's still going to be set up for a vote of how, like, where the 94 million comes from. But that was the first place, and I'm like, you guys are. And I know that affordable housing is like every city's buzzword right now, but how do you pretend to care about that more so when you're going to take that much money away from it?
That's a tough sell there.
Yeah. And if you're so concerned about affordable housing and you know, equality, whatever buzzwords they like to use, then you shouldn't be giving any money to a guy who's rich beyond belief. And that goes for every city, let alone the dad of the guy who poorly runs his own wrestling company. Because it all ties together. You were just saying, what did he say? They're a touchdown away from...
They are in the red zone and are expecting to score a touchdown, I believe, was the verbiage that he used. If not, it was very, very close to that statement. So...
Yep.
There are definitely thoughts there, and I'm trying to figure out how to go for it. You know, there are things that I enjoy about the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
I will admit that while it was amusing to get the occasional zingers from the parents yesterday, it's not the way that I would watch the show to talk about this show, or talk about on the podcast. So, like, the storyline stuff was kind of out the window last night. And I did not rewatch. If that's part of your problem from last night, I am devoid of opinions of any promo that happened last night.
Well, Mark Briscoe was damn good. It's just he's entertaining. There's no way around it. Kyle O'Reilly is just a gigantic nerd and tried to ape him. And Orange Cassidy, I really appreciate the fact he doesn't speak up and doesn't repeat himself. Because I have no idea what he said the last few weeks. He just starts talking. And Renee's like, Renee will talk back to him like they're having their own private conversation on national TV. So that's nice. The whole show, the way it started last night, and thank God for the Big Bang Theory so they can get their ratings back up. MJF, like, allowing Daniel Garcia to cut him off. Like, I know MJF's supposed to be a face now, but didn't he come out ragging on everything and then saying, like, no, like, this whole trust, respect, and friends thing, that ain't happening ever again. So what happens a few weeks later, Daniel Garcia comes out, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know what? Thank you. And, like, shakes his hand. I'm like, what happened? Like, just say, yeah, I know. Get out of here. No one asked for you. And he's, like, praising him. And I was like, this is the exact opposite of what you just said. And also, as a quick aside, why is everyone jerking off Buffalo? That whole, oh, we're in Buffalo. Yeah, we're Buffalo tough. Like, what are you talking about? I know Daniel Garcia wrestles in Buffalo. Okay.
I think it's that, and I think it's because Brody Lee was from Buffalo.
Yeah, Butcher and the Blade as well.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
And there you go. That's what I was getting at.
But I do think it's more of a Brody Lee thing and why they highlight, like, because I do feel like they have tried to bring their A game in Buffalo ever since he passed away because it was his hometown.
Oof. I mean, if that's the A game, like, The show wasn't bad last night. It was just pointless as hell.
Yeah. Well, it definitely did not talk our cohort in crime, Chris, into ordering the pay-per-view this coming weekend.
There wasn't a chance in hell I was ordering this anyways. And then just, okay, so again, you have a pay-per-view that's coming up that you are making matches for at the last second. Confusion as well, because Jericho and the Learning Tree were going to have a match, but then Minoru Suzuki shows up and challenges Jericho for a match, and you're like, they never really said what was going to happen. And then Tanahashi shows up, Naito shows up. Who am I forgetting?
Oh, the Naito thing was just hysterical.
Naito does not care at all that he's there, and I appreciate that. Just walks out and he's like, "Yep, I'm here. I'm doing my eye thing. All right, I'll come down to the ring."
Even great. My parents were amused with the wardrobe malfunction that he was having.
Yeah. I can't imagine them watching this show. Like, you said they were watching Dynamite with you, and I went, they had to sit through that 15-minute jerk fest with MJF and Daniel Garcia and then Will Ospreay. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, again, I do not have a terribly great grasp on any of the happenings of the promos for the most part. So yeah, I mean, they sat through it, but it was also a little bit of background sound.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair too. That's really all the show was. It was just background stuff. And again, like trying to hurry up and plot a TV show, I'm sorry, a pay-per-view a week before it's getting ordered. That card now has 13 matches on it.
Oh my gosh.
I think three are going to be on the pre-show. I think three. That is still a 10-match show. And I know WWE's caught some flack about only having five or six on some of these off pay-per-views or PLEs. That's going to get real confusing, by the way. But it's WWE doesn't make the most of their time with them. They could really cut down on stuff to get another match or two and not like have a show go 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. You are entirely accurate, according to Wikipedia. Ugh. Three pre-match shows in 10. Yeah, I guess I enjoy the shorter ones personally.
Yes.
You know, the five match ones, I got no problem with them, especially when they're going 2.5 to 3 hours because they're they're giving the matches time to breathe.
Yeah, and they are like, they really do. WWE really does pack on the video packages.
Oh.
And I think I'm guessing some of that's by design so that you can have a match go longer if you need it to.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because, I mean, I guess there were a couple of maybe okay-ish video packages. I think Chris and I talked about it, but honestly, like, I feel like one of the best hyped matches is Tony Storm's match. Like, I don't know if it's best in some ways, but it's definitely been featured, I will say that.
I'll say the build for that match has been pretty good, as much as I don't care, because that woman's not beating Toni Storm. So, you know, what's the point? And that's really what this whole card is. What's the point? Outside of that and Swerve and Will Ospreay, there's really nothing worth a damn on this whole show.
Get
55 or 60 bucks out of you? No.
Yeah, it's a not great looking card here. Like, as far as like that main event is the draw.
Yeah. It should be. Yeah.
Because I guess I don't care about Danielson and Shingo Takagi.
Nope.
I think that MJF and Hechicero is going to be a good match, but like it's in that category that you said, like who cares?
Yeah. And that's really what this, like Chris and I touched on it Tuesday, that New Japan's cold. No one knows or cares about AAA and CMLL guys, by evidence by the ratings. So, oh. And then you have Mercedes Moné versus Steph Vakour.
Yep, Stephanie Vakour.
Yeah. Who? So, okay. So, like, I know we were making fun of, like, you know, Tony Khan, he books for the sickos. And it's like, I guess, because they're the only ones that are going to buy this.
Yeah, I thought at one time I thought that they might have my interest, but in no way do they.
Nope.
At this current time.
No. Like, they've been so. All right, so the Tony Storm match, it's got a lot of moving parts, which is good. No. Like, you know, what's the other lady's name?
Mina Shirakawa.
Thank you. Like her trying to attack Toni Storm this week, that was kind of surprising because she really hasn't. And then, you know, so she's showing like something else. And then Mariah May, of course, gets in the middle, gets hit. And it's like, well, who do you blame? Because if you notice, they both left her for dead so that they could start fighting with each other. Well, that rubbed me the wrong way. Like, yeah, I needed help. And you guys decided to fight instead. Like, all right. So there's like intrigue there, but it's just the intrigue more now is like, what's Mariah May going to do? But
no.
And then I can't. Yeah. So how did that go over with your mom and dad?
Like, oh my gosh. That,
I mean,
that one was just too funny just because Mina Shirakawa does her, little chess dance there. And, well, she is well endowed, so it works well for her. So when Toni Storm tried to imitate her, my mom's like, "Toots, that is not working for you," or "You don't have enough there to work," or something like. I'm like, "Oh my god!" So yeah, that one was pretty amusing to have that happen. Well, and I was also laughing at someone describing this of being a TNA match, depending upon who wins for Mariah May's love. So yeah. I thought that was a fairly amusing take.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can do what you want, but it's like the way everyone acts in this, especially like, you know, the throwing tits everywhere. It's like, what year is this? It's really strange because it's never been explained.
Yeah, it is really weird to see it because, I mean, Chris has felt downright uncomfortable talking about it, but it's like, hey, man, as far as I have been told, AEW is the place to go if you want reign over your character. That means that these ladies, they're putting it out there on their, maybe not their own, but at least with approval. And it's just like, hey, that's what they're doing, man. And it, like you said, like it feels like it's from another era.
It does, and okie dokie. Like, hey, I don't think, like, with women's wrestling, it doesn't have to be one way. So, like, seeing something like this is jarring because it's different. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just jarring. And
well, I think what makes it weird, and I know that Chris and I talked about this, is that at times, like, it just, her relationships with both of them seem infantile, almost, at points
with Toni Storm for sure, I mean, when she's like bosom and she like puts her head on, like, okay. But like with the other chick, they're bumping tits and drinking champagne. So, you know, juvenile, sure. Infantile, no, that'd be more Tony's.
Okay. So, yeah, at least part of it's infantile and it's just kind of weird. Yeah. I guess the situation is just weird to me still. Like, there's definitely a story there, but yeah, the situation just comes off odd.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah. She started off as a stalker. I'll use the word stalker. And then, like, her biggest fan, and she just wanted to be noticed. And then all of a sudden, she's, like, her child, I guess. Like, is she doing, like, a... Oh God, it was a Betty Davis, right? No More Wire Hangers. That was the name of that movie.
Good Lord. I mean,
old reference, but still fits.
Well, yeah.
Mommy Dearest, that was it.
I think that maybe we should have the crown that would actually get these references, but that one's still even stretching it for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just that. Because I wasn't that into movies, like, that wasn't something that was much on my radar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, like, everyone's heard No More Wire Hangers, but you may not have known, like, where it's from. But you're right. It is, like, I don't, offhand, I don't know what year, but it's an old-ass movie. And not a lot of people even know who Betty Davis is. So, yeah. But, like, that match and then Swerve and Will Ospreay. Oh. This has been a weird build anyways. Like, they're trying to be friendly, and Swerve just keeps being a dick. And then I loved what he did at the end. Because Oscar's out there, he grabs his belt from him. All right. Yeah, well, all shenanigans are open now because we're done teaming up. And...
Yeah.
Swerve is so good. That was such a natural progression. Kicks his knee out and immediately kicks him in the face. And I was like, whoa. It was fast and done with purpose. I was like, hell yes. I'm still not ordering this pay-per-view, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Just love Swerve. So
there will be some type of viewing of that match somehow, some way, I suppose. That is the only one that the build-up has been good, and that part was really good too, just because I really didn't need the sound for that, because that was the other thing that I think it was last week where Swerve's like, if you fuck with my belt again, I'm gonna kick your ass, and Ospreay grabbed it from him. He's like, okay, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Like, I told you this was coming.
Yeah. And, you know, Swerve said, I want to make it personal. And I guess Ospreay thought, all right, I'm going to fuck around. He's like, I wasn't. And that's why I enjoyed that. Like, Ospreay's out there all smiles doing this, goofing around, and Swerve just put him in his place. Now, that could prove to be, like, Swerve's last big thing as a champion. But...
Yeah. That was the only thing that I thought about seeing the replay of that. Earlier today, where I'm like, that does not always bode well for the person that does that that type of maneuver, even in AEW.
Well, so. Yeah, it's they don't always follow it, but it's just this title reign of Swerve's. I mean, it got off on the wrong foot. He wins the title. He's not even on Dynamite giving a promo. He has a match for no reason. And then they put him on Collision for the big promo. Like, why?
Trying to pull people into Collision, baby. Yeah, it
doesn't work. So, yeah, and we'll talk about the NXT as well. But, like, Black Eyed Champions ain't working out so well unless your name's Moose. But, unfortunately, you're in TNA and no one's really talking about you.
There is... There's a limited amount that I still know about TNA. They still have a not really anywhere problem.
Yeah, well, with Moose,
didn't you say that they're, does their Plus air their shows like later at some point?
No, they've changed that finally. So it's on while it's being broadcast now. Finally. Because it used to be at 10 o'clock after they aired. Now it airs live on TNA Plus as well.
So, okay. Well, yes. Then that
I mean, you got the replays all that.
Accessible way to get to it than having whatever AXS.
Yeah.
Like when, as far as I know, Wichmahicka is the only dish is the only one that carries it. It's like,
Well, DirecTV really has it. DirecTV, even YouTube TV does, but it's on a different tier.
Oh, geez.
So, but I'm like, I'm not paying extra money for it. So,
No, I am not that desperate for. Well, it's probably cheaper to pay for the TNA Plus than it is for whatever that next tier up is on YouTube TV. I don't know. I guess that's a good question. Anywho.
But no, what I was going to say real quick about Moose, his problem is he has good matches, and then he wins, and then it always gets overshadowed. He wins, he beats, I can't remember what it was. He won at the end of the main event. Nick Nemeth shows up. He beats Nick Nemeth. Matt Hardy shows up. Beats Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy shows up. It's like, come on. I'm the bad guy, but can I please get a few minutes of recognition before all of this starts?
I do like that in a way, just because it does give him something to gripe about constantly.
But I mean, of all of like African American black champions, he's the only one that's like a focal point of the promotion. Swerve, sure, but you can see that Will Ospreay's the clear one that they want. MJF is the clear guy they want.
It was not good last week when MJF came back and already had a stare down with Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
And this week didn't change my opinion anymore in that direction.
Well, I kind of like how it's presenting Will Ospreay as kind of arrogant too. Because he even said, yeah, I'll give you an international and world title shot. And it's like, well, you haven't won. So, you know, there's that little bit. And I don't think Swerve should lose, but who knows? With a guy who openly says he's booking by the on the fly, yeah, we'll see what happens. So.
I still do not like even though AEW might not be as historically what do you call that? You're the one standing tall at the end of the show before the pay-per-view.
Right.
Even if they don't follow that trope as much. Yeah, like just that and his involvement, and I know they didn't really do it as much this week, but his involvement with the Young Bucks just feels like he's going to be the one to lose because he at least is going to have another story to move on to. To me, that's a real downgrade from being their champion. But I guess it's at least with the EVP, so you can make some argument that it's at least one of the featured feuds that you're getting into.
Yes. They are featured, that's for sure. Now, does anyone care? That's going somewhere else. So, Chris and I talked about this, but do you remember when Okada was a free agent? And it was like, what's WWE going to do with him? And everyone just made fun of it. Like, oh, he's just going to become like, you know, Mr. Fuji. Or he's going to be like, you know, that Japanese stereotype in WWE, right?
Yep.
I guess we got the letters wrong. So everyone can go back and listen to Tuesday's show. And Chris and I covered this pretty good. But the idea that he's just another guy now. But he says bitch. Oh, okay.
Yeah, some people seem to enjoy the comedic stylings of Mr. Okada these days.
But I will tell you right now, if that was WWE, everyone would get all over their case. And be like, what are they doing? What's the stereotypical? Oh, he's Japanese and that's how he's going to talk? Like, yeah, it'd be very fair. But since it's this, and, you know, you need a TV show that's 5 years old to get you 180,000 viewers, you know, it doesn't tie in, but it certainly does, because AEW's product is cold too, which is why bringing in cold New Japan does not help as well.
An unknown CMLL.
Yeah.
They can tell me as many times as they want to that CMLL is the oldest wrestling promotion in North America. I still don't care. And it's, you know, like, all of us have watched a lot of wrestling. I don't know how many times I've heard CMLL really talked about.
Oh, yeah. If you cover, you know, like, Yeah, I know. I know.
Even from a Mexican standpoint, because Chris thought that we watched it. I'm like, no, dude, we watched AAA. And it's just like, yeah, like, I guess I had forgotten that it existed.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel like, because I feel like someone somewhat big named went down to CMLL like in the 90s. But that's the last time I really thought about them.
You know? I never gave a second's worth of thought to CMLL because of AAA. And the accessibility of it, too, was a lot easier.
Like AAA has definitely been more out there. Because I'm trying to think if there's a third Mexican brand that I'm forgetting about.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I don't believe so. Yeah. Then still, yeah, AAA has been the one that's been out there at least for the last two decades. It's just like, huh? Okay. Yeah. I really liked the Hechicero matches that I have seen. I have really enjoyed. Because, like, of course, it doesn't hurt that they're throwing in him in there with Daniel Bryan in a giant singles match and something else. Just like, you know, he's probably great, but also I know what he's in there with. So that is, you know, I know that the other guy's holding up his end of the bargain.
Yeah.
So the sales job on the new guy is always a little bit harder for me.
Yes. But and they insist on doing the show every year. And I would be curious to see, like, how it would drum up business, because I guess when the Blackpool Combat Club went to AAA, it did get a big gate. Cool. Well, good for them. Because it doesn't translate to AEW. So it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's great to have, like, relationships with other companies and help.
Oh.
And in turn, prop them up, right? But not at the expense of your product.
Well, and I still don't think you talked about it in relation to the WWE. Like, I still think that the AEW could use more video packages. I think that they improved this week, because, like, there were some other things that I guess I noticed since I wasn't really just paying attention to stories and whatnot last week. Because I was like, oh, these ding-dongs finally realized that using an aerial camera is a good idea. Like, oh my God. You know, it only took the WWE using it for like a month and a half ahead of them to catch on. But anywho, what was it? I feel like Stephanie Vaquer and Mercedes Moné had pretty decent video packages. Mm-hmm. This week, like, but they need more of that to help out these guys that are coming through here. Like, I know that what's Excalibur does his best to try and like fill us in on what these guys are up to prior to coming to AEW. But if you're going to feature them on a pay-per-view that I'm supposed to spend $50 on, just need more information here, guys. I guess is what it comes down to.
Yeah, anything would be nice. Like, they actually did that for Mariah May and all of them. They finally got a package on her.
On Mina Shirakawa. Yeah.
And it's like,
That's why it's been one of the better hyped, or the best hyped one. Like, we've actually seen video packages of her and Mariah May, contrasting with what's happened with Tony and Mariah. So, because I'm trying to think, because Tony, Mercedes, and Swerve and Will are the only ones really that have been hyped for any amount of time heading into this pay-per-view. The rest of these matches, because at least for the time being, Wikipedia is still listing the Learning Tree being in a trios match. We'll see how that happens. I kind of forgot about the ladder match for the TNT Championship is supposed to take place.
Sure.
I knew that they had qualifying matches, still forgot about it. Because it's Takeshita, Mark Briscoe, Jack Perry, Dante Martin, Leo Rush, and El Fantasmo. I mostly remember from Dante Martin talking about
who was the last guy?
El Fantasmo.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember when he qualified, but he did.
Okay. I'm trying not to rant.
Signed in New Japan, part of the Gorillas of Destiny.
Cool. Never mind. It's a dead horse. It doesn't fucking matter. But Dante Martin, who I've never seen win a match. El Fantasmo, sure. Whatever. Mark Briscoe, the ROH champion. Doesn't make sense that he's in it, but yes, it makes sense because at least he's a champion.
Makes sense because he can cut a promo.
Yeah, yes, he can, and it's spectacular. Jack Perry, obviously, he's going to be in there because he won a match, and there's a story behind him. Who else was going to be in this thing?
Your favorite buddy, Takeshita.
Oh, okay, yeah, the guy that's not Dante Chen. So it's. Okay, I'll even say putting Takeshita in there. Okay, Takeshita does win a lot, so that's okay. You know what? I'll go backwards. That's fine. This is for what was supposed to be their secondary title, like just a notch below their champion, the world championship. And we have nothing but jobbers and not jobbers. A bunch of them, yes, but there's no one better. Why isn't Pac in this? Why aren't the Lucha Brothers?
Wasn't Rouge? Pac was cost his match.
Yes, that's true. Yes, yes.
So he at least has an excuse as to why he's not in there.
I mean, they have these tournaments. The Owen Hart tournament, Jeff Jarrett's in it. And now everyone's like, oh man, I forgot him and Owen's partnership. Yeah, no. Jeff Jarrett shouldn't be in this thing. Not for something for a world title shot. No, I'm sorry, no. Were the Young Bucks, was that the Owen Hart that they inserted their own wild card? who's obviously going to be Adam Page, or at least should be Hangman.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. But it's like the TNT title is just their TV title, which is why it's not worth a rant. It's just not. It's a pointless title like the international one is, the continental, all of it. So whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even my parents were, they're like, oh, how many champions are in the ring right now? Like, I mean, that was another one of those legit comments where it's just like, yeah, sometimes people even casually watching can realize that there are just too many champions running around. You know, like, it's not, you do not need to be in the weeds of professional wrestling like us to realize that maybe there's something wrong here.
Especially because what the hell is a continental title? What's an international title when you already have a world title? I know intercontinental doesn't really make a whole lot of sense either. But having one say continental and one says international, you legit took the intercontinental title's name and split it between two titles. Remember when Pac was the... What was the original name of the international? I can't remember now.
Not Atlantic.
Yeah, and it had Japan on it, so.
Yeah.
But it made sense because he was overseas defending it. I thought that was cool. And, like, the matches were like, against people you didn't really know. And they were in different venues, so it's like lighting was different, production was different. That at least made it somewhat interesting. Now it's just whatever.
Yeah, ever since the Orange Cassidy first run ended, things have not gone well for the International Championship.
No, not at all. Not at all. And to the point that Chris and I were confused. So Will Ospreay is the International, and Okada is the Continental.
Correct.
Okay. And that's what we were just trying to figure out. And I thought that Will Ospreay and Swerve was going to be like, you know, a unification of sorts. But it's only for Swerve's title. Okay. Whatever. You know, whatever. Perfect opportunity to streamline stuff, but that's not what this company does. The fact that they actually had people discussing that there should be women's tag team championships for AEW. Yeah. No. They need to get rid of the goddamn trios titles too. So whatever. It's AEW. It's bloat to the max. And you know, we got a huge roster, so we're gonna bring in other companies' people. Cool. All right. That's that kind of ended sour, but it's their own fault.
Yep, that's why it's going to be interesting when they sign a 5-year deal here with Warner Brothers Discovery.
And they finally score that touchdown. Or as I said before the show, a crash landing is a touchdown as well. So.
A crash landing that I personally was not expecting, sir. Donovan Dijak will be released as of tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it ended today. So I think tomorrow is a free agent, I think. If not, he will be Saturday.
Yeah, I believe the image that I saw was as of the 28th, which, man, that is a wild turn of events that I am surprised is happening.
I wouldn't say I'm too surprised, but the timing and like how everything was handled sure was. Why bother drafting him to Raw? Even if it was off camera, why bother drafting him? why not use him in NXT to put people over?
I don't know why they decided to cool him off before he left. It was the wildest thing that this guy has had the best run that he's had in your company. And I mean, that it's kind of funny that it is the argument for and against him.
Okay.
That he took, what was it, 7 years in the company, and he finally was doing well 6.5 years into the company?
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's the biggest positive and the biggest negative to me in some ways, where, like, he was on quite the run there. So, I kind of felt like they still have room for other big men to be on their roster. I feel like there's probably one other argument, too, that is probably out there.
What's that?
He is a little bit older of a gentleman.
Yeah, that doesn't really count much anymore. I mean, Damian Priest is in his 40s. So, you know, Cody's getting to be 40. So it's like, eh. I mean, hell, isn't LA Knight 45 or something stupid like that?
Yeah, he is older. Yeah. I guess I didn't realize Priest was that old.
Yeah, he's 40, 41, something like that.
Oh, yeah, 82. Okay.
Yeah. So he's 42. Yeah. So
yes, September he turns 42.
So. Okay. So my thing with Dijak was like, all right, he's a tall dude, but he's so lanky. I wonder what he would look like next to Strowman, next to Damian Priest for that matter. Now he's a big guy. Don't get me wrong, but you know, aesthetics and proportions go a long way and the camera can hide some of it, but like, what was his character in NXT? I mean, we made the joke about him being Cobra.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay. Like, Dijak's version of Justice. And it's like,
while it was amusing, there was still a lot left to be desired.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like he never really connected as a character at all. I mean, luckily he had these matches to back it up, and especially the assortment of matches and like the assortment of opponents that worked. I'm just ignoring the main roster stuff, T-Bar and shit, like whatever. That wasn't his.
No.
But.
No. But I mean, I think you could be right too, where maybe at least a portion of this is that the character was a weird fit. Like, I don't know where you put that on the main roster.
Mm.
Just because it's like you have that spot, you have the Wyatt Six goofiness spot, but like you only have so much room for that. And I don't think Dijak bringing his version of Justice and torturing people on the main roster is going to work the same.
Yeah. It's like a trench coat and sunglasses only gets you so far, you know?
Yeah.
But I think like what got me with this was like what he said was that they didn't even bother telling him. They just called and said, hey, we're not going to pick up your contract. It's like, huh?
It was a combination of I was told by higher ups that I was doing great, but then I was never offered a contract.
Yeah, like one high ranking person in particular said, yeah, you're doing great. We'll do plans for you or something. And then, yeah, we're not going to bother picking your contract. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's the part that definitely seems weird and sketchy about the whole thing, about how it went down.
Well, I mean, sometimes people just blow smoke up your ass too. And maybe that maybe that's what this person was just doing. Like, no, man, you're doing great. Like, okay, cool. What can I do different? Nothing, man. It's perfect. Like, okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'll miss his like big man matches.
But I'm guessing he'll go somewhere else. That was one of those things that I think he even featured. He's like, man, I had all these banger matches, and I'm like, oh, I mean, a lot of people can have banger matches these days and have better characters.
Yeah, that really is the case. Or not have banger matches and just have, I mean, the one that comes to mind right now is Bron Breakker. Holy shit. His matches are fine, but that presentation, I mean, he's supposed to be a bad guy. And people are cheering him. Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's destroying people in the most egregious ways. And people are like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, what a shock. People like badasses. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how many times that's been uttered on this podcast, but it's been a
lot. What a shock. And like, he's got his dad, his uncle, and then one of his uncle's, a dad and uncle's friends, Bill Goldberg, as mentors. Let's see. What career path would you want to follow? Well, Goldberg's would be pretty sweet.
He's coming about as close as you can to the Goldberg path.
Yeah. The one thing, I know we got off the hijack, but the one thing Breaker's got to do, he's got to be snugger with the, or more snug. Is snugger a real word? I don't know. But
probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. It didn't feel real comfortable saying so. But the top rope Steiner, you know, Frankensteiner, he's got to sink that in because he's going to miss one of these days. And it's going to look really dumb.
I mean, it almost looks really dumb right now. Just because I don't know if the person isn't jumping in time, or like you said, like he isn't really grabbing onto them in any way to let them know that they should start jumping. Because it just really looks like a delayed reaction right now.
Yeah. But I mean, the jumping on the top rope and posing stuff, that's cool as hell. There ain't no way around that.
Oh,
it, so.
And, yeah, and people are still popping for it. So,
yeah. You know. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. As it should.
That's all that matters sometimes. Even if execution can be improved, if you're getting the reaction, that is the positive.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really all they want to do. So, and that's good. I mean, but look how easy it is to get over like that. But it's like someone like Dijak, well, what can he do? And again, not even being like a dick, but 7 years. And yes, he had that unfortunate retribution stuff. But, you know?
Oh. Like, yeah, I do feel worse about the whole, hey, you're doing great. Nah, you're out of here.
Yeah, but it's
anything
like
anything else. Like the retribution stuff, like I feel like everyone has a bad gimmick story for the most part.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like someone come up to, like, I don't know if he went to them or if they came to him. I don't remember if he stated, but you know, if he goes to someone else, it's like, yeah, you're doing great, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the same thing as your company saying, oh, we're a big family here. And then they lay off 100 people. So it's like, it's just corporate speak. And that's why I was like, I think someone's just blowing smoke up his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he didn't drop the Triple H bomb. Not sure if he is allowed, you know, like, A, I don't know if that was the person.
Right, yeah.
Really, in fact. But, I mean, you would think if it was Triple H, you would know. But, I mean, I don't know. Lord only knows what Shawn Michaels told him on this call up.
Yeah, and that's really the thing. The writing should have been on the wall. As soon as you got called up and you never made it to Raw, I don't even think he was mentioned.
I don't think so.
So,
Yeah, I really don't think that he was mentioned outside of maybe, you know, they had a blip about him after, you know, like the next Raw, like with supplementary picks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, nah.
Yeah. So it's like, all right. And again, this is a guy that I, you know, money talks, obviously. He should stay as far away from AEW as possible. If he wants to keep wrestling, go Japan. Go to TNA if they can afford you. You know, no. Go somewhere where you'll be showcased. AEW is not, I outside of money, there is no opportunity in AEW. And I know that sounds kind of dumb because they're on national TV, but there's a lot of people they never touch. They never use. They're getting paid, sure, but they're never on TV. So who cares?
I mean, even some of the people that are on TV, not getting a lot of love. And I mean, big men in AEW just have not done well in general.
Because the guys in charge aren't big guys. They don't, like, that was always Jim Ross's complaint. The big guys don't wrestle like big guys.
Uh-oh.
So, you know.
Yeah.
They want to make sure the big guys can fly around the ring, which is not, like, that's not Lance Archer. You know, that wasn't Miro. You know, Miro was just wide.
Yeah. But he definitely has more. He has, he's a ground and pound guy for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Keith Lee could do some backflips or whatever else, but for the most part, he was a power guy. Big power guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those. At first, I found it impressive, but then at points where it's just like, nah, dog, just, like, you don't need to do that anymore.
No.
Like, we got it. You're super athletic, so, you know. Maybe just bust it out every now and again.
Yeah. But, I mean, if Keith Lee ever comes back, who knows? So.
Oh, yeah. I loved how he was just like, him and Dijak, hey, let's run this back again. It's just like, well, dude, you got to, like, be able to wrestle. So.
Oh, did Keith Lee say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, God bless him. I hope he can. But. You know, you've been sick for 3 years, off and on. Sick or hurt for 3 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. Not a great combination.
No. But it was just strange, like, Dijak leaving NXT. But then you just realize he wasn't needed anymore, I guess, because they brought in Sean Spears as, like, your player coach. Which I know Chris will hate that term. You've got Oba Femi. You have Josh Briggs.
Got Duke Hudson, who's still a big guy, if you want to use him in that regard. Ridge Holland is still on the bigger side.
Yeah.
Not terribly tall, but definitely a big guy.
Well, shit, look at Out the Mud, for that matter.
Oh, my God.
They ever want to split those two up.
Fucking huge.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, you've got, maybe your age part is a little bit of it, but it's like, you know, you've got an older with a lot of wear on him from working like Gorilla and, you know, the matches he's had. Because remember, he was a cruiserweight before.
I mean, he's another one where he's in that category of, I need to just go back. But I remember him in Ring of Honor winning Breakout Superstar. I'm trying to remember what that was called.
I don't know.
Top Prospect Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But he won that in 2015. So that tells you how long ago I was watching him. So, yeah. That's, oh boy. You know, yeah, like I liked him a lot and thought he had a lot of potential back then, but it's kind of crazy where I guess it's dawning on me the more we talk about him, like it's been a decade of potential, basically.
Yeah. And you know, mismanagement along the way, but still.
Yeah, there's definitely been some mismanagement along the way, but oof.
Because I was trying to think of who, like, Trick Williams is a big guy, too.
Oh, but, yes.
So it's like you've got all these bigger dudes and, you know, in different phases of their career. Who's the guy that just joined the Catch-as-Catch-Can crew or whatever the hell they call themselves?
Oh, Tavion Heights.
He ain't small either.
That's a big gentleman.
Yeah. And I know we haven't really talked too much about NXT this week, which is all right. I mean, the show's kind of – it's good, but it's funny how the risk of TNA people showing up, the ratings kind of tanked down, like back to normal. After like last week, they were teasing like you never know who's going to be in the Battle Royal or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that had something to do with it. And I do wonder, though, like, Trick Williams as champion, like, pairing him with Sexy Red. You know, you're going to get, you'll get, like, new eyes on that for the people who want to see Sexy Red. And go, well, who's this guy? In the hopes that they're going to tag, like, stick around for him. But didn't happen, I guess. But it also doesn't help that Trick Williams is an afterthought, even though he's the champion on his own show.
Yeah, he's still in a bad spot.
And, like, I understand why he lost, because they're trying to build up, you know, a main event scene quickly. But has he had a title defense yet? I truly do not remember a singles match that he's had.
Because I believe so. Because what was that last?
Did he beat Sean Spears?
Oh, that was that last pay-per-view.
That's when he won it.
He won it the last PLE?
Well, no, I'm sorry. He beat Dragunov on TV. Because that was part of their special one. No, the last PLE they had was WrestleMania weekend. Right?
He beat, what's his name? Noam Dar.
Oh my God, I don't remember that at all. Wow, okay. Because Noam Dar being hurt, just taking off, kind of like hurt that. Did he? Wait, he never actually fought Noam Dar, did he? Because Dar.
Yeah, because Dar's leg was under the ropes, which should have broken the pinfall.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that sucks. You know, like there's this, your title defense, and it's mired in controversy, and you've never really gotten anything else.
And you don't get to resolve it because, unfortunately, the guy is legit injured.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to kind of forget about that feud in the meantime.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying with Ora Mensa, but he's really going after Ethan Page instead. So.
Oh, right. So, yeah. It's Trick Williams still continues to be in a bad spot.
And I think it's unfortunate, but it's like I don't know why they're doing a four-way main event for Heatwave. Like I know it's in its own, it's on its own arena. It's got to stand on its own. And I guess it should have never been Javon Evans anyways. Against this guy that's been around for a month is all of a sudden in the main event scene like, "Hey, slow down."
Yeah, that it seemed like as much as I'm like, wow, they finally have, you know, a 19-year-old or whatever he is, 20-year-old male star that has the potential of some of these really young women stars. But I was like, yeah, you don't need to be pushing him this hard, this quickly. Like, he's 20 years old still, guys. Like, we can let him cook for a little bit longer.
Yeah, and it's fine because, like, you want to burn some guy at 19, which I know, like, you know, careers aren't guaranteed. But, you know,
right.
Yeah, but it's like, all right, so you put Sean Spears in, and I guess so that he can be, like, the ringleader of a four-way? And then Ethan Page because of storyline. Okay. But, yeah, it just seems like Trick's the afterthought, and that sucks.
Yeah.
And he's got to win. Unless they're going to put him on the main roster, which, okay, we got to, like, this is for my own personal belief, saying, well, he's ready to go to the main roster. Where the hell is anyone from NXT going to fit on the main roster right now?
Breaker is the only one who's fit anywhere.
Yeah, I know, like, Kiana James, she... You know, she had her part in, she was trying to be an assistant to Pierce, but then she was also, she was in the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Yeah, she hasn't really had that much luck. I was going to say that Lyra Valkyria has had some positive momentum for the most part. I know that she's taken some L's still, but, her and Bron Breakker have been the best NXT call-ups as of late. Because Carmelo kind of keeps... He got the win on SmackDown, but you knew that he didn't really earn the win.
Yeah. I mean, but he is going to be Money in the Bank. So, you know, it's...
And exposure boy, helps.
Can you tell that Triple H is going with his people? Look at these ladder matches. It's crazy. And I know, like, you know, Carmelo was mostly around with Shawn Michaels. Even Bron Breakker was for the most part. But, you know, like, he's the one that signed these guys or found them at tryouts, whatever else. So, you know, we're still going through a period of time where Triple H is still – these are still his people. Even if he wasn't technically running NXT at the time. You know? So. Yeah. But that match doesn't hold a lot of intrigue to me. If, you know, if Trick loses, I'll be like, wait, what? It can't be Sean Spears.
Oh. Yeah, he's not. Trick's not losing.
Yeah. It's just bizarre to me. Like, Shawn Michaels must love Sean Spears. Or just trust him. I mean, he's got wins over some decent people. So, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you want to have him in the main event, he needs to pick up some type of win.
Yeah.
And I guess that was one of the reasons why when he beat Javon Evans, I'm like, oh, okay, this is... You know, the kid does his best against the vet, but still loses, and they'll build him up slowly from here. And there was not a slow build after that.
No. But, yeah, it's – I actually had to ask Chris. Like, they kept saying Heatwave was going international. I'm like, what? I didn't realize it was SummerSlam – or no, I'm sorry, Money in the Bank weekend. So, they got a responsibility to sell some tickets. So, you best get a move on. Because, like, Roxanne Perez and Lola Vice doesn't really do anything for me. So, it's like, all right, you got to start building.
I think that's a better build than anything Trix had, but...
Yes, absolutely.
Still maybe not the best... spot to be putting Lola Vice in, who's maybe not quite the Javon Evans level of early pushed, but she's definitely still on the younger, at least in professional wrestling side of things.
Yeah. And, well, she has been showcased a lot, so.
Yeah, she deserves it. You know, at least storyline-wise, she deserves it. You get a win over Shayna Baszler, I feel like you can talk your way into a championship match.
Yeah, that makes sense too. But she never loses in her match. So, but yeah, like the rest of NXT though, it's like, all right, it's really they're just building for Heat Wave, which is not Heat Wave. Is that next weekend or two weekends?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing a July 4th week.
July 6th is Money in the Bank.
Oh, okay, so next weekend. Okay.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I went to, after you mentioned those matches, I flipped the Money in the Bank page. Because, yeah. There's only half of the field determined for each match. So
yeah, and it's Sunday, which is still weird that NXT gets the Sunday slot, but that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's because those ones generally end at 10:30. Because I guess people are complaining about main roster PLE cards only being 5 matches. They've really kept these to 5 matches in NXT shorter matches.
Yeah.
Which is like, to be expected.
Yeah. But no, like NXT this week was fine. Nothing really happened. Like the Brooks Jensen thing, have they explained why he keeps getting arrested when he works there?
That was one where I thought that part of the segment was really awkward. Like when you have both Vic and Booker had like a full-on face look at the man. I felt like they did pretty decent camera work to stay out of, you know, like the viewer being able to completely tell who it was. But there's no way that Vic and Booker shouldn't have said, "What the hell is Brooks Jensen doing here?" You know, like they look straight at his face.
Yeah, well, did they ever establish like he quit or got fired?
I honestly do not remember. I would say no, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's my thing. Like, he keeps showing up at different indie wrestling events, too. I believe he actually showed up on the TNA pay-per-view, if my memory serves.
Okay.
It's just like, okay, he goes out and interferes. Security comes out, and they keep trying to cover it up. And it's like, why? Like, I just... There's no explanation for it all, and it's just very odd.
Yeah.
Especially this week when it cost Trick the match. Like, are they going to insert Brooks Jensen into the main event scene? Like, huh?
Yeah, that was one where I'm like, they show... I don't know what it is where I'm weirdly intrigued by this three-headed monster of a front office with Ava Stevie Turner. Is that her name? I think.
Yeah.
And
Robert Stone.
I'm like, what are they doing here? I could see how maybe this could work. Cause I'm not sure that Ava works by herself.
Yeah.
So surrounding her with some other office characters might be for the best.
And by the way, why was Ava wearing a 316 day shirt? It seems so out of like, it just seems so out of place. It's not even March.
It's one of those, I don't mind her dressing differently than stuffy general managers Adam Pearce and Nick, why did I almost call him Bockwinkle?
Aldis, yeah.
Nick Aldis.
Nick Bockwinkle was great, that's why.
But yeah, like the whole t-shirt seemed like, kind of extra, like, weird to me. I was just like, I don't know about this. Just in general, like, Yeah, I know it's not the days where you need to be wearing a dress and or a suit to be considered corporate, but it still just seemed out of place to me.
Yeah, because she never really like, dressed like corporate, right? So I'm like, was she having like problems with a wardrobe or something? Like, it was very weird.
Yeah, cannot answer that question.
Yeah, it's like, no, we can't do that or something. It was just very, very weird. So enough to the point, like, I noticed it. So.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I did think that was kind of awkward.
Yeah. So, you know, NXT is doing its thing, man. And we'll see. We got, what, yep. One more week of build. And, yep. You know.
They do not have the problem that AEW has. You can talk me into using my $5 a month and pop into...
No, Peacock.
Peacock. Instead of shucking out $50.
Which is the one thing... Ask. And it's, I know we're wrapping up, but is the WWE on Peacock going away for Netflix? Because... I think it was either Triple H or Nick Khan mentioned that once they move to Netflix, their programming will be seen by 80% of the world, which is fine. But they made it seem like all their programming would be seen. But I could have swore NBC Peacock had that deal for the whole network. So I don't know if it's staying there or if it's just all going to Netflix.
Yeah, I am not completely sure on that. I guess I felt like the last I knew, Peacock still had control of the PLEs, but am not 100% on that.
Yeah, because, I mean, as far as I knew, it was just Monday Night Raw moved. But then they started saying this other stuff, so I was like, okie dokie. So, yeah, all right. Yep. Well, let's get the hell out of here then.
Bell time beer on your end, sir?
No, nothing.
So in honor of Indianapolis being the new champion of travel here, I decided to have some Sun King Brewery Keller Haze India Pale Ale. It has pronounced aromas of pineapple, citrus, tropical fruit, and orange peel. I feel like all of those are described in citrus, but hey, you know, why not gussy it up a little bit? So, yeah, very tasty and very easily attainable beer from Sun King Brewing, who started in Indianapolis, but I believe they also have a production facility in Florida somewhere. So this is a multi-state endeavor. So a lot more people listening to this podcast can probably pick up their beer. So Sun King Brewery, a very good brewery. Should one want to buy beer from them. So that is the suggestion from at DeFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.